May I speak and may we hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Every journey begins with one step. It's obvious when you think about it. Everything starts with the first. A game starts with the first roll of the die or the first shuffle of the cards. The on your marks, get set, go of a race. And even whatever it is that we've taken on for Lent might be to take more exercise, to give something up, to be nice to someone we dislike. It all starts with one first step. And sometimes when the first steps are long ago, it's hard to remember what they were. And the traditional gospel reading for this first Sunday in Lent tells us something of one of Jesus' first steps. He'd just been baptized in a river by his cousin John. Now, Marvin and Mariella's baptism will be a first step for them, but they'll be baptized by Canon Nicholas, and he's not taking them down to the way. He's going to do it in the font. They may be glad of that. But at Jesus' baptism, his identity was affirmed, as we will hear Marvin and Mariella's names being used, their identities in their families and in ours being affirmed. God has called them, God called Jesus, God calls all the baptized by name. The calling by name is a first step which all the baptized share. And then another first step for Jesus after his baptism was into the wilderness. Directly led him to finding himself in a wilderness. He didn't feel separated from God, but we know nothing of what happened to him during that time, the 40 days and 40 nights, that period of time of symbolic importance. We don't know anything happened during that time. Either Jesus never said, or the evangelists didn't think it was important enough to record. We've no idea. But what we have is an account of what Jesus said happened afterwards, after that time in the wilderness was finished, after the 40 days were over. And whatever happened to Jesus in that time, those 40 days and 40 nights, whatever he resolved, whatever he discovered about himself, whatever he discovered about himself and God and what he was called to do, all of that was immediately tested when this time was over. So what might Jesus' account of this episode, of this first step, speak to us as Christian disciples, to Marvin and Mariella as newly baptized, to all of us as the Church of God? The first thing that Jesus experienced was his identity being questioned. If you are the Son of God, an attack on the person is one of the hardest things to take. And Jesus, according to him, just let it go. I think he let it go because at his baptism, he had heard himself by name being affirmed by God. He heard God say, "You are my son." He knew who he was in God, and so his dignity was secure. He drew on the traditions of his community. His place in his community was secure. He remembered of how God had fed his ancestors with manna in their wilderness. God would provide, and so he could resist the temptation to be a wonder worker who could provide for himself, and therefore for everyone else, if he could really create bread from stones. He knew who he was in God, and his dignity in God established him in his community so that he could point again to God who provides. The second time he heard his identity being questioned, in a symbolic place, the holiest place, the pinnacle of the temple, not just the temple itself. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off. You could become famous. You could have adulation, a following. But no, whatever happened with Jesus during his time in the wilderness, this was not how he was to live out his identity. Not by grasping for fame, but by walking one step in front of the other. Walking one step, two steps, three steps, none of which is promised to be free of trouble. The life of the baptized, for all of us, is never free of trouble, is one in which case we know ourselves with God to be walking one step, another step, another step. And Jesus could have tested God. He could have thrown himself off the pinnacle of the temple. But rather, he trusted that God's declaration of who he was and how he was to be was that which would give him all that he needed to do what it was he was called to do. And eventually this attack on his identity ceased, and the third time, whatever it was, Jesus told his friends, "Just worship me," said his tempter. Whatever happened for Jesus to know that he was to win the world, this was certainly an easy way. All he had to do was to worship the tempter, and all the things that he could see, all the kingdoms of the world would be his. He was very hungry. He'd been without companionship, without sustenance for 40 days, at his most vulnerable, perhaps. That was until the crucifixion, of course. At his most vulnerable, he's offered an easy way to achieve the aims he knows that he was given to win the world. Again, secure in his identity, he remembers and he says, "Go away. We are to worship God only. The worship of God alone is what will help me win the world." We know that the way he won the world was to give up his whole life. Each small step for Jesus led to a greater journey, and he discovered along the way how he was going to live, how to serve, how to worship God. And this how of it, this how of life, is a question that begins for all of us at our baptism. As Marvin and Mariella are baptized, they don't, of course, become anyone's children. They're already children of their parents. We welcome them as a brother and as a sister. And as we walk with them, they walk with us. And as they learn from us, so we learn from them, from all the baptized, this how of it. How are we meant to live? There's lots of discussions in Lent about what are we going to give up? What are we going to take on? I like the taking on, personally. It's got more of a chance to survive after Easter. Knowing what I'm like, any giving up, I just can't wait to Easter. But whether we take up or we give up, how is Lent going to shape the next steps, one step at a time through Lent? So here's another way, perhaps, of thinking of those steps. Jesus' time in the wilderness, the thinking of the how of it, the how of living a life of faith. Thinking with Marvin and Mariella's family today about the how of their life of faith, of our life of faith. In a timeless book called Season for the Spirit, it was adopted as the Archbishop of Canterbury's Lent book sometime in the 90s. Another way of perhaps seeing this time of Lent, the one step after another. Lent is the season for the Spirit of Truth, who drove Jesus into the wilderness to initiate him into the truth which sets free. This harsh word "drove" is softened in the Gospels to the milder expression "led." But inertia, illusion, and fear can hold us back from answering God's invitation to enter into the truth and gain freedom. If we're going to move forward into the truth for which God knows we are ready, we need the Spirit to drive us. Perhaps, rather than give up or take on, the word "surrender" should be our word during Lent. Not the surrender of submission to an enemy, but the very opposite, the laying down of resistance to one who loves us infinitely more than we can guess, the one who's more on our side than we are on ourselves. Dwelling on the thought of letting go and handing ourselves to the Spirit brings us much closer to the experience of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lent is about the freedom which is gained through exposure to the truth. So many of us trained to invoke at the beginning of Lent a discipline. But if we smile at our anxious attempts to bring our life under control, the belt-tightening resolutions about giving up this or taking on that, and think instead that perhaps what we're called to give up in Lent is control itself, deliberate efforts to impose discipline can lead us further away from the freedom which Jesus found when he surrendered to the Spirit, when he allowed the Spirit to drive him forward to take that next step. As we come to the Lord, particularly maybe through Lent, so we surrender our lives, our desire for control, our attempts at making our own bread, doing our own special things. We surrender all of that to God, who at the heart said, "Listen to my son and follow him." Let us pray. O God, you are present as we enter our wilderness, and you search out our truth. Give us clarity to know what is right and courage to reject what's simply easy, that we may abandon the false innocence of failing to choose, but may follow the purposes of Jesus, who walks before us and with us, our Lord. Amen.